We're busy following developments on the Trump indictment. This is the case of classified documents found at his home in Florida.
This morning, one of Trump's aides was indicted as well, and two of his lawyers resigned. The indictment may be unsealed any minute now. That's the indictment against Donald Trump. So let's get right into all of this with our politics roundtable. Darlene Superville is White House reporter of the Associated Press. Darlene, good to have you.
Thank you.
And Margaret Talev is senior contributor at Axios. Margaret, great to have you as well.
Thanks so much, Anthony and Scott. Hey, Darlene.
So, okay. So Margaret, the developments are coming fast. The Trump lawyer's quitting. The judge, we learned, is a Trump appointee. The indictment details. What jumps out at you?
There is a lot going on. There are a couple things that jump out at me. One, this is CNN's reporting. CNN reporting today that the former president has acknowledged on a tape in 2021 that he had hung on to secret military information that he hadn't declassified. Their sourcing for this is a transcript of the audio that they've obtained. And in that transcript, he is reported to have said, as president, I could have declassified, but now I can't. So obviously, if that all checks out, it would show, it would presumably bolster Jack Smith's case. We don't know whether this is one of the seven counts against the former president or what this is built around, but it is a big deal. The other thing that jumps out to me is that we're seeing the former president himself unveil or announce the indictments against him, against his former aide, Walt Nauta. And that is unusual. You would expect to hear news from the Justice Department or from a formal announcement. Instead, it's Trump, again, trying to control the narrative, putting on quite a show.
Darlene, we have a sound of the former president breaking the news of his indictment in a video last night. Let's take a listen.
They can't stop because it's election interference at the highest level. There's never been anything like what's happened. I'm an innocent man. I'm an innocent person.
Darlene, how enormous is this moment? So much seems to be happening.
That's right. There is a lot happening, as Margaret alluded to. And I just want to take a second to wish my dear friend and colleague a happy birthday today.
thank you. But 29 all over again.
But this is a huge moment. I mean, it is the first time in the annals of U.S. presidential history that we have a former president facing criminal charges from a government that he once was the head of, for example. And, you know, there are huge legal consequences for him, and there are potentially consequences for the United States as well, because the whole world is watching. We've never been in this position before. We said that back in March when he was indicted in New York State on the charges there involving the hush money payments during the 2016 campaign, and here we are again with the former president Trump, and another first.
The Justice Department has been silent so far, but we understand the indictment itself will be unsealed at some point later today. You mentioned, Margaret, this idea that it's unusual that, in this case, that Trump, was the first to reveal news of this indictment. Is this him sort of getting ahead of the story and trying to, I mean, he's good at that. He's good at using the media and trying to turn these events, at least momentarily, at least initially, to his advantage.
That's exactly right. You know, the idea that it's some kind of a witch hunt, or that there's anything inappropriate about this. As long as none of the facts are out there, as long as he's the only person putting any of the facts into the conversation, he controls the conversation. And so we've heard from a lot of legal experts over the past several hours encouraging, saying the Justice Department needs to get out ahead of the Tuesday court date. These indictments need to be unsealed so that we can have a conversation around the facts, or at least the facts of the case, right? So that's going to happen. But you already see what's happening. Look, in terms of the GOP presidential field, the person that we're talking about is not just a former president. He's the front runner for the 2024 GOP nomination.
Yeah.
And even if all of this goes forward, and even if he were to be convicted, he could still win the presidency. So you're seeing the GOP field, his rivals for the nomination, split on this. You're seeing a couple like Ron DeSantis, even though he's ready to pounce on Trump for anything else, aligned with him, saying it's a witch hunt or a deep state or whatever. you're seeing on the sort of Chris Christie side of the spectrum saying, hey, you know, rule of law, we need to see what the facts of the case are. And then a lot of Republican rivals just staying quiet because they're trying to figure out how dangerous it is. Then on the Hill, it's a different story. You're seeing GOP members of Congress from Kevin McCarthy all the way down overwhelmingly defending Donald Trump. And you know why? Because they're afraid they're going to get primaried because right now the base is on his side.
And speaking of the political reaction, the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican Kevin McCarthy, called the indictment unconscionable and a grave injustice. By contrast, President Biden yesterday was asked about the independence of the Justice Department, and this is what he said.
Because you notice, I have never once, not one single time, suggested to the Justice Department what they should do or not do relative to bringing a charge or not bringing a charge. I'm honest.
Darlene, what position is the president in here?
Well, the president and the White House, they don't want to say anything at all about what's happening here. And that's been their position throughout all of the legal troubles that the former President Trump has faced. And they, you know, they're maintaining this position because there are already questions, and as we're just talking about the vacuum and Donald Trump and his supporters filling the void with misinformation about weaponization and this, that, and the other, the White House doesn't want to be seen as having anything to do with what's happening to the former president. So that's why we're not seeing any comments from President Biden or anyone in the White House. He was asked today, his press secretary was asked today as they flew to North Carolina on a trip about this, and it was, we don't want to comment.
And all this, of course, happening, and you both made reference to this, it's happening in the context of a presidential race. Mike Pence, Trump's former VP, a candidate for president, is demanding that the indictment be unsealed. Here he is speaking today on the Hugh Hewitt radio show.
I had hoped the DOJ would see its way clear to resolve this without an indictment. I think this is going to be terribly divisive for the country. I also think it sends a terrible message to the wider world that looks at America as a standard of not only democracy, but of justice.
But Margaret, you know, it's interesting because Pence came out quite strongly this week condemning Trump, finally, for what happened in the wake of January 6th, talking about how he shouldn't be a candidate for president and so on and so forth. I think I'm having trouble getting my head around what Pence's position is here. What are you hearing?
I think Pence is having some trouble getting his head around how to calibrate this message, because you're exactly right. And I think the Justice Department would argue that they went out of their way to try to avoid this. I mean, they gave Trump so many chances to turn everything over, and he was so defiant about it. And it continues to be defiant about it. I mean, in a sense, if you're going to put the disappointment on the Justice Department and say, I wish they'd found a way to resolve it, when you're dealing with Trump, and he's been as uncooperative as he has about all of this, I think your two choices are look the other way or keep pressing forward. Like, this is not a situation, anyone who's ever covered Merrick Garland knows that this is not a situation that he or, you know, now it's Jack Smith, like, is looking for. But whether you're a former president or just a random member of the public, like, you're hanging on to classified documents and being resistant to them, and evidence comes up that suggests that boxes were being moved around or things were being concealed or that you said something privately that you're denying that you said. Like, what is the Justice Department going to do? But that's where we are. And I think for Mike Pence, it's difficult to message it. He kind of wants it both ways. He doesn't want to alienate the base, but he's trying to say, hey, I served with Donald Trump. He shouldn't be president again. Well, why not? And this is part of that case. So I think he is trying to articulate that message without turning off the base. And what ends up resulting is some rhetorical confusion.
All right. And Darlene, where do you see Trump supporters here in all of this? We hear often that there is a fraction of the Republican base that will always stay with him. But what's important to watch from that camp, or Republicans who maybe are have been fence sitters for Donald Trump, and where they end up now?
I do think it's important to watch the Trump supporters who are with him. And once we get the indictment later today, see the counts, the charges, the exact charges in it, and see whether that at all has any influences their opinion of him in any way, whether that would cause some of them to start peeling away and perhaps look to one of the other Republican candidates who are running for president.
All right. Well, that's Darlene Superville, White House reporter for the Associated Press. Darlene, great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Margaret Taleff, senior contributor at Axios. Always good to have you, Margaret. Thank you.
Thanks so much.